This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
The Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network, and it's brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. A dramatic game six tonight in Philly as the Knicks, what is clearly what has become a classic first round series, feels much more like a conference final. Dramatic in so many ways. Game time tonight, 9 o'clock after the Bucks and Pacers play game six in Indiana. When you think about a first-round series and realize that there have been two games in this series where teams have come from behind by five or more points in the last 30 seconds, that had only happened three times in the last 30 years in the NBA playoffs. It has happened twice in this series. The Sixers gave away game two, or the Knicks grabbed it and seized it, either one you want. And then the Knicks gave away game five in overtime, or they seized it. Now, you know, the 2-minute report that the NBA puts out, you know, always causes a little consternation. They said Maxey walked on the 4-point play. Okay. So it never should have happened. So the Knicks should have covered the point spread. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, that stuff you can call all the time. How about the fact that on the flagrant foul, that should have been an offensive foul? That was in the report also. It should not have been a flagrant one. It should have been an offensive foul on Brunson. So there were a lot of reversals at the end of the game. It just means that the officials have to be tighter. That's all. The game officials have to be tighter. And you just, you know, go with the bounce of the ball. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. All right, game six this evening. No Bogdanovich, obviously, for the rest of the playoffs, so the Knicks' rotation has tightened to seven. That has meant extra work for McBride, who has averaged 30 points in the last two games, but he has responded. He's responded with important points in the extra minutes, and he has been a very big factor. Robinson got in, obviously came back in game five and was a big factor. Embiid doesn't have the extra day here. Hart, who played all 53 minutes, Brunson and OG all played 50 minutes or more in that game. Embiid played 47 minutes in that game. It's remarkable, him dragging that leg around for 47 minutes. But he did. He wound up with a triple-double, although he didn't score well. And, of course, Maxey had a game that will establish him. Listen, he had already come on like gangbusters. He had established himself in the regular season, but the postseason is where you solidify reputations. And he has now solidified his reputation as a bona fide backcourt star in the NBA, no question about it, with what he's done in this series and with his dramatic three-pointers that led to a incredible come-from-behind win for the Sixers. Listen, before the series started, I thought we'd go seven. I still think we probably will. The Knicks will have opportunities tonight. Why not? Every game seems to be that way, except one in the series. That was game three. Otherwise, this series has been that tight where it's up for grabs and teams are coming from behind on numerous occasions throughout the game. This far into it, there's not anything new. We know where the points are coming from. We know who has to step up, like Harris did in game five. Gave them 19 big points. you have to get some secondary scoring somewhere. They obviously have two guys that you have to worry about, and it's not going to change. The Knicks have got to use their double teams on Embiid judiciously. Make it harder for Maxey. Make him give up the ball up top. Don't make it so easy for him to get the ball, because once he gets the ball in space, he's going to score. They can't handle him off the dribble. They can't handle him from the three-point line. So they have got to bottle him up, run some extra people at him just to make him give up the ball and hope he can't get it back in the 24-second clock. Make somebody else score. That's clearly what you're trying to do if you're the Knicks. Make somebody else score. Also, take your opportunity breaks, especially with Hart. Hart's great at going end-to-end. Take those. Run Embiid when you can. Obviously, the minutes when Embiid's off the floor have killed the Sixers in the series. That's why he has, you know, stayed on the floor so many minutes in the second half of these games, even though he clearly wears down. But last game, it was Maxey. I mean, Embiid made some big plays, but Maxey, with an incredible, incredible performance. If you're the Sixers, you're trying to make it as hard, make Brunson into as much a volume shooter as they can, get the ball out of his hands, and see if you can catch the other guys on a cold night where you know Hart's going to go to the basket, where you know OG is going to go to the basket and stick that a shot if they leave him open. And they get scoring off the bench now with McBride, who is, you know, they need to come in the game now and get double-digit points. That's the way this was shook out. Now they only have seven players. Especially if Dante isn't on, then he's going to ride McBride more minutes. That's what happens, either if Dante's in foul trouble or if he's just not scoring, and he hasn't had a great series scoring-wise. Hart's had an amazing series in terms of everything, in terms of effort, in terms of the amount of minutes he's played, in terms of how many points and rebounds he's given the Knicks. Same thing with OG. OG's play defensively, offensively, has been just outstanding in this series. Hey, we've had five games. It couldn't be a tighter series. We're here in game six now. There's a very good chance this goes seven games. I picked the Knicks at seven before it started. I have a feeling we'll be at the Garden for that game Saturday night or Saturday day. We don't know the time yet. We know it's Saturday. We don't know what time yet because the NBA hasn't set that up yet. We do know that they've been pushed back to 9 o'clock this evening. But the bottom line, it's all there. And you want to take advantage of this game that's a cushion. It allows the Knicks to do some things here, to be aggressive, to be overly aggressive, to try some different things if they want to, see if they can get this game and get this thing over with without having to face an elimination game, knowing they have two guys that can be lethal scoring. You know, the Knicks would go into Game 7 with one distinct fear, and that is if they get an A game out of Embiid, they're in big trouble. As we saw with the 50-point game, which was one of the great 50-point efforts in the history of the playoffs on just 19 shots. So this amazing series, and it has been as close as a series could be. Now, game six, the drama continues. And listen, whatever happens the rest of the playoffs, you're going to remember this series as being just an absolute classic, because it has been. Check out my playoff special at Bet Rivers for tonight's game. The Francesa playoff special available on the Bet Rivers app. Go to the Bet Rivers app for all of your wagering needs and to pick up some bonus goodies from them. So check it out on the Bet Rivers app. Now, both the Yankees and the Mets will be in action this afternoon, trying to split four-game sets. Yankees won last night after losing two straight to Baltimore. They didn't have to score a lot. They didn't have to score much at all because, obviously, they pitched a shutout. Game four of the series before the Yankees come home to take on the Tigers. Mets will be on their way to take on the Tampa Bay team, which has struggled since getting swept by the White Sox and is now four games under 500, so they're looking to break out this weekend. Tough loss for the Mets last night. These Cub games, they lost the game 3-1 when Diaz gave up the home run to Morel game one. They won the game 4-2 on Tuesday. They get beat last night. This Imanaga, this Japanese pitcher, has been just sensational. The left-hander, 5-0 with a 0.78 ERA. And we all know bottom of the ninth. Now, I thought Alonso was out of the plate, and I thought he had access to the plate, so I don't think that the plate was blocked. He got his hand over the plate in time. He just didn't touch the plate. His hand stayed elevated above the plate, and it allowed them to put the tag on him. So I don't buy the obstruction. I don't buy the reversal to plate. I think he was out. I think they made the right call. It's a tough loss for the Mets, but you know what? I thought they made the right play. It happens. What are you going to do? You know, Alonso gave it all he had. He would have been safe. He beat the throw. He just did not put his hand down. Over, if you watched it enough times, he had his hand over the plate in time. He just didn't touch the plate. He elevated his hand, and that's when they tagged him. So he was there in time. He just did not touch the plate. So that was the end of that, and the Mets went down in defeat. Struggling to score runs. Cubbies playing good baseball. Game four this afternoon. Brown against Hauser, and I would think this is a big start for Hauser to stay in the rotation because he's been getting beat up pretty good. You know, the Met pitching has been great in terms of the hits given up, and they've kept the ball in the ballpark, but they've also walked the ballpark, and that can't continue. They have got to have better command of the strike zone or they're going to get themselves in big trouble. They've gotten very good pitching so far, except here with Hauser, who has pitched terribly, and I would think is pitching to stay in the rotation right now. We'll see how that shakes out this afternoon. Now, just a couple of reminders. Number one, we will have a Nick postgame tonight. We will either be putting the finishing touches on what will be a dramatic Nick victory in Game 6, or we will be preparing for a Game 7 on Saturday at Madison Square Garden. So we will have that for you this evening right after the game's over. Remember, it's going to be a little later because the game doesn't tip until after 9 this evening. Of course, they need games tonight, so Knicks are going at, they're going with 6:30 with the Milwaukee-Indiana Game 6, and then the Knicks will come your way right after 9 o'clock. So it'll be a little later this evening, but we will have it up this evening. And tomorrow, on the morning podcast, we will have our Derby selection. I will either have Brad with us or I will have his information, one or the other, and I'll give you my selection. And obviously the pressure's on because last year I gave you a $31 winner in the Derby. I'll try and duplicate it. I love handicapping the Derby. I've always been very successful with the Derby. I never do well with the Breeders' Cup. I don't know why. It's in California a lot. I don't like California tracks. I don't like handicapping California tracks. Keeneland's been kind of weird when it's been there. I don't have any real excuses. I just haven't done a good job during the Breeders' Cup. I really haven't. But I've done a great job during the Derby in my life. I've been right about the Derby so many times. It's my best betting race of the whole year. I look for closes. I look for closes at a price. And I have not done the work yet. I will do it this evening and have it for you tomorrow. And I will also have Brad's information, or Brad, one or the other, will be up. So that will be tomorrow. People have been asking me about that. It'll be tomorrow's program. And obviously, we'll either be putting the finishing touches on round one and looking ahead to round two, or we will be preparing for the two most dramatic words in the sports lexicon, and that is, of course, Game 7, which would be at the Garden on Saturday. So we have a big weekend coming up. The Rangers have not been, schedule-wise, have not been established yet. I think it'll be Sunday, Tuesday, but again, that could change. I don't know what they're waiting for, unless they're waiting to use the Garden on Saturday if the Knicks don't play. That could be one of the reasons why they've hesitated. I'm not sure, but they haven't put the series up yet. It will be the Knicks, it will be the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Games 1 and 2 will be at the Madison Square Garden. We don't have a schedule on that series yet. I would think that it would be Sunday, Tuesday, but again, if the Garden's going to be vacant, and the NBA isn't going to start till Sunday. You know, the NBA might have already told them that they're locking in a game 7 on Saturday and then a game 1 on Sunday. If, with the Knicks, if the Knicks don't go 7, if they go 7, they're not going to play them Sunday. They won't open that series till Tuesday if they play Saturday. I mean, they could open Monday night, but I think they'll open Tuesday. Again, they'll have to dance around the Rangers schedule, so the Knicks and Rangers both in the Garden at the same time. Remember, they can play on the same day. I've been at the Garden when they do it. The turnaround is amazing. It takes them 4 hours to turn it around, but they are marvels at what they do there. And I have been there for both games when they have played both games on the same day. It has happened. It's not the best situation, but it has happened. So everyone's waiting on the Rangers. I don't know when they're going to announce that, because they might be thinking about moving up if the Knicks don't play. Again, remember, game 1 for the Rangers is going to be at the Garden, and if there's a game 7 for the Knicks or a game 1 for the Knicks, it's going to be at the Garden. So you know that too. So there's more Garden basketball coming your way, and there's plenty of hockey action coming your way at MSG. So this is starting to look like one of those classic springs. Nothing better. Nothing better in this city than when the Garden is active in May. It is an incredible place to be, and none of that has changed. None of that has changed. I remember that almost every year on Mother's Day, when my mother was still around, I would always have to be at the Garden on Mother's Day Sunday. It was almost like it was automatic we were at the Garden on Mother's Day Sunday. It just seemed like we were there every single year. Remember, with those Ewing teams, they went to the second round every year. They never won it. They went to the finals twice. They should have won in Houston in game 6. I mean, we can go. They really should have won that series in 5 games. If it wasn't for Sam Cassell, they would have. And they threw game 6 away. I can remember it to this day. That Oakley pass, up 1, when he threw it the length of the floor trying to get an easy basket and threw the ball out of bounds. What a crusher that was. And that was a game the Knicks had in their grasp. And then hanging around Houston, very hot weather, incredibly hot and humid outside, hanging around there for game 7. And I still remember Dog and I were going in to do our show, and we were going in through the Rocket offices into the building, and we were doing our show from the Garden, I mean from the building in Houston for game 7. And who do we bump into in the lobby of the Rocket offices, Kenny Smith, as he's just coming in. And Kenny had had it. Now, I go knowing Kenny going back to high school. So he had had a rough series. And he said, I remember him saying to me, hey, tonight's my night. Tonight's my night. And you know what? He hit some big baskets in that game as they toppled the Knicks pretty easily for game seven and won a championship. So that year, which was, you know, an amazing year. You know, we split up a lot. I went to Vancouver twice. Dog went to Vancouver three times. We split up. I stayed with the Knicks for game seven against the Pacers. At home, Dog went back to Vancouver. Then I went back to game Vancouver for game six. You know, we thought the Rangers were going to win in five. They lost the game five at home. We spent too much time that day talking about how everyone should celebrate once the Rangers won. They didn't win. We had to go back to Vancouver. And I remember that night in Vancouver. And we were going, Dog and I, from Vancouver back to Houston. And for the game six, it was Saturday in Vancouver, and we were going to be Sunday in Houston for game six. And the celebration in Vancouver after they won that sixth game was like they had won the cup. They were going crazy outside the building. They were rocking cars. It was just like that you would see another place had they won the championship. The people treated it like they had won. They were going crazy. And I remember being on, we were sitting on the floor at the gate at the Seattle airport. Because we went from Vancouver to Seattle, and then we're waiting for a flight to Houston. And we had hours to kill till the flight to Houston. And Doug and I were on the floor in an empty airport, just hanging out, waiting for the plane, which I think was like 3 hours later, to get to Houston. And of course, he's rooting for a seventh game. I'm like, you got to get out of here. What are you talking about? Let's win this thing tonight, get a championship, and get out of here. No, he was rooting for the seventh game. He always wanted an extra game. He always wanted the next game. He always wanted drama. And he loved to root against the local teams anyway. So we were sitting. We were in the upstairs press area in the first row, sitting next to Vander Holyfield. I remember he was sitting next to us that day. We were talking to him a lot because he was just happened to be sitting next to us as we were up there for game six. And I remember like, Dog, we don't want to stay in Houston three more days. Come on. And he was rooting like crazy. And that game obviously came right down to the buzzer, right down to the final seconds. Knicks lost it. And we had to hang around. I remember on Monday we did our show from Houston and there was a playoff in the U.S. Open. I think won by Ernie Els, if I remember right. But there was like a three-way playoff and we were watching it while we were doing our Monday show from Houston. And I still remember walking into those offices and Kenny Smith walking in, of all people. And then it was Kenny Smith who helped deliver that Rocket championship. In what it was the one that got away with Riles. You know, and game five of that series was the O.J. Simpson game. Knicks lost game three at home. Won game four, won game five. And game five on that Friday night was the O.J. Simpson game. Then Sunday in Houston, Houston won. And then Wednesday night in Houston, Houston won. But the Knicks and Rangers played 49 playoff games that year. The Knicks went to the seventh game of the NBA Finals. The Rangers won the Stanley Cup in seven games after having played the dramatic seven games against New Jersey, which is a game six guarantee, and then all the drama of seventh game. a year like nothing. A year unlike any other, without any question. You know, we had a lot of dramatic runs, the Pink Cadillac, the Yankees in 96, which was a great, great championship and a great season. And fun to follow. We did the whole thing with the montage and the Cadillac and the whole thing, if you go back that far with us. And that was an incredible championship. In my lifetime, 96 was the most memorable championship for the Yankees that I ever experienced. It meant so much. And to have what we had in 94 and then have the Yankees in 96, but 94 was so unbelievable. I think you had to like to figure out schedules and what we did and everything else, you know, all the time. And we were in person on every Nick and Ranger home game, except I think one Ranger game where there was a conflict, and something like half the road games. So we were at, like, of the 49 games, one of us was at the Rangers or the Knicks at 38 or something of the 49 games. We went to Indiana. We went to Vancouver twice. Dog went to Vancouver three times. We went to Houston. And it was just an incredible spring like we've never had. Now, this year, beginning to resemble that. The Rangers sweep. They have a big series with Carolina. Going to be an extended series. Going to be a long series. Probably going to go seven games if the Rangers can win. As tough a series as they're going to get, probably in the whole shooting match. Everybody says that. Maybe the two best teams this year squaring off. So you have that now into the second round. And then the Knicks, I think, will get a very favorable, because I think Indiana's going to win that series, because I don't think the guys are coming back. I think Indiana will win in six. I don't think you're going to see the Freak and Lillard now after you haven't seen them. Indiana held its head high with Milwaukee held its head high at game five. I wouldn't be surprised if it's close, but I don't think Indiana will lose tonight. That would be a terrible loss if they did. And I like the Knicks in that matchup. So I think we have a very good chance of getting both teams into the conference finals, which is, you know, deep. Now you're getting into the middle part of May. You make it to the conference finals, you've made it to June. So this year's starting to, in subtly, not yet, but starting to resemble that a little bit, because a lot of years that garden's been dark. Most years there's been no playoff games there. And now both teams with a chance to get deep into the postseason. So there are a lot of exciting days in store over the next couple of weeks. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.